response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Two more hours left of Chiefs extended pregame for the Super Bowl between the Chiefs and the Eagles. You'll be able to listen to it right here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Chiefs. Big game coverage is brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer partner of your Kansas City Chiefs. And joining the show now, we got Carrington Harrison from The Drive. Thank you, C-Dot, for taking the time to join us as well. One of the things that I think we've talked about a lot throughout this week is, you know, the Chris Jones stuff. It is the wide receivers. It's Jalen Carter. It's Chris Jones. But C-Dot, I think one of the questions that I've got for you, I think, is the Eagles secondary hasn't been talked about a lot in this game. Xavier Worthy's been extremely effective here over the last back half of the season, and particularly in the playoffs. How big of a game does Xavier Worthy have for the Chiefs to be able to win this game?
That's a good question. I mean, I think that Xavier Worthy is one of the few explosive players that this offense has. I don't really think there's a lot of explosiveness. I think that Kareem Hunt is very efficient. I don't know if I would use the term explosive for him. I don't think that's how you could describe Kelce right now. D-Hop, he only has one game where he has more than 40 yards over the last 9 weeks. So I don't know if you can really count on him to be explosive. I think that Xavier Worthy's versatility is very big in this game. He can help you in the run game. He can help you in the pass game. I think he's going to get a lot of volume, a lot of opportunities. I think Andy's going to be creative in how he uses him today. So I really like Xavier Worthy today to play really well. It's funny because I thought that the Chiefs kind of mismanaged him maybe early in the season and kind of used him in a role that I don't think he was at least suited for at this point. But now they've kind of transitioned him more to kind of how Rice was used in the second half of the season. I think he's really flourished, and he's just so fast and elusive. You just got to get him the ball in open space, let him make a guy miss and make a play. And I think he's done that the last couple of weeks.
He's a lot better than people think he is. He is a guy that led Texas in receptions and yards for three straight years. He can do it. This has been a weird postseason, though. Like, I'm kind of curious how Andy's going to play this one, because you remember the Texans game? Xavier Worthy was the only wide receiver to catch a football. The only one, which is really weird kind of how it worked. And then the last game against the Bills, you know, Juju was their second leading receiver with 60 yards. Like, it's always somebody else stepping up. And, you know, this game's going to have a different feel to it as well. So could it be, you know, D-Hop having a good game? Or is it going to be Justin Watson, or will P. Ryan, you know, dominate as well? It's just Andy Reid's going to look for the little things here and there. And if you look at what the Chiefs do in their track record, in their history, and especially what they've been doing in the playoffs, nothing's been predictable about what they're doing offensively, because we're not seeing the whole Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy dynamic with that speed, you know, down the field like we thought we were going to get from training camp.
Yeah, and I mean, hopefully he's back. There was a report, I think, from Jeremy Fowler that the Chiefs want him back, but he, you know, thinks there's going to be a lot of suitors. Buffalo was a team that I'd be very interested in having Hollywood Brown. It's funny because, to what you just said, Bink, in all of the Chiefs' Super Bowl wins, it's kind of been one of those supporting characters who has kind of made a big play. Remember, Sammy Watkins had that big catch on the sideline against Richard Sherman in the first Super Bowl win. In the second Super Bowl win, you had Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney both making big plays. Mecole Hardman has the game-winning play in last year's Super Bowl. So it's kind of been, yeah, Kelce going to make plays. Tyreek Hill's going to make plays. But you kind of need that other player. Who is that going to be? I like Juju. If you're asking me, like, who's that kind of X-factor kind of player?
Yeah.
I like Juju Smith-Schuster to be that guy. He had 60 yards in the AFC Championship game. He had 60-plus yards the last time these two teams met in the Super Bowl. I like Juju to have a decent day.
Because he's been the forgotten guy. And if you go back to the regular season, when Juju first got here and he was getting, you know, his catches, people like, oh, hey, it's great having Juju back. Nobody was on him. Because everybody was worried about Xavier Worthy and Kelce and everybody else. Mm-hmm. If you go back and watch, like, the film of Juju's catches this year, wide open. If someone's going to be that wide open, you just get on the ball. And that's exactly what Andy Reid is doing. But he looks for that little way on that offense. And Nagy and Reid, they get together. Who can be the guy that makes the difference? So Samaje Perine, in that title game, they left him wide open. They did not cover him. The Bills did not. concentrate on Samaje Perine when he picked up that huge first down.
Certainly another name to watch there. C-Dot, prediction for you. What's the score and who wins?
I got the Chiefs winning 27-20. I did see this about Samaje Perine. He was one of my favorite bets for the weekend. Oh. He has hit his over on receiving yards in 18 of the last 19 games that he's played in. Now, he didn't have a catch in the Houston game, but the point that you just made about Buffalo, he had the long catch that went for, I think it was like 17 yards. It's 8.5 right now. You could have got it 7.5 earlier in the week. Is there one or two screen plays for Samaje Perine in this game script? Absolutely. So I really like his. I'll give you a couple more bets before I get out of here. I got Kareem Hunt at plus 135, I think it was, to score a touchdown. Mm. Just, I'm big on, do you have a chance to score? Like, where do you get the ball on the field? This team, we all suspect, is going to be in the red zone a couple of times. You know that Kareem Hunt is getting those opportunities. So roll the dice with him. I got a touchdown bet for Xavier Worthy as well at plus 155. So those are a couple, just to give you three that I really like. Samaje Perine over, a couple of touchdown bets. I know people are thumbing through the apps right now trying to make sure they get their last bets in before the game, or you're making that drive over from the Missouri side to the Kansas side to make sure that you're good. So I want to help people out. But yeah, give me the Chiefs 27-20.
Appreciate it. Thank you, C-Dot.
Thanks. Appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
All right, Bing. So
I'm still looking for the quarterback snake, man. They won't do it. 2019, when he got hurt.
It's never going to happen.
But you know what? It's the most uncharacteristic play the Chiefs could run.
You want Mahomes to run it. You want Mahomes, correct, to run this? Yes. Is that what you're talking about?
The Chiefs have been doing the inverted wishbone like crazy lately. Mm-hmm. They've been doing crazy formation, the spin around
full
plays
house,
and everything.
Yeah.
You want to catch them completely off guard. That's what you do. Listen, it's not a very injury-prone play. We know that. Tom Brady used to do it all the time. Mahomes wants to do it. He's even said it in training camp. Because I want to run this play again. I want to do the quarterback snake. Can he audible into it? Will he see some kind of weakness where all of a sudden you're looking out and everybody's in these wide nine techniques and the defense is kind of spread out and he's looking at it going, because he tells everything. You watch anything, he'll tell if it's cover zero or whatever. He'll name it the line of scrimmage. He'll see what's going on. Will he see that little gap and think they're thinking there's no way in hell he's going to sneak this ball? Because what they will do is they will run him to the outside. That's what I'm saying. His defensive ends or bankers getting a wide nine out there. But if he takes that quarterback sneak, time and place, I'm telling you, if it happens, I would do it only because you're trying to get the three-peat.
Yes, that's the only way that it gets done. Like if it's a chance to ice the game, if it's a chance to win the Super Bowl, that's the way that it gets done. They will actually call if it's a fourth and one, and they can ice the game and win the Super Bowl and complete the three-peat. That is a time I think that they would do it.
Two training camps ago. Can you hit me up here, Quinn?
Is Bink's computer on or is it off?
It must be off.
You're doing pretty good until that.
There we go.
We were really good at it until last year. I mean, last year we didn't do very well at it, so. We didn't get the one in the first one the preseason. So we've went back and kind of evaluated it. And hopefully by the time season comes around, we can get back to get converting those.
Any discussion with Andy about putting that quarterback sneak back in the play?
I always want to, because I always say that I haven't got stopped yet. But because even the one that I got hurt on, I still got the first down. I'm pretty sure he's not going to let me do it unless it's like for the Super Bowl or not. So, I might have to call my own number in the Super Bowl if we get there.
See that? He says it right there.
That's fine.
He won't let me do it unless it's the Super Bowl and I got to call my own number. This is two training camps ago.
Yeah.
Unless it's the Super Bowl, call my own number. Patrick Mahomes does a quarterback sneak today.
You know what that would remind me of? What you know in Major League where the outfielder makes the really ridiculous catch and he goes back in and the manager is like, hey, nice catch. Don't ever do it again. I imagine that's what Andy Reid will be like. Hey, nice quarterback sneak. Don't ever do it again.
Yes. No, that would be the exact conversation. I think you hit the nail on the head, Quentin, right there. I think that he would do it, but the thing that bothers me the most, and I think it worked against Buffalo or maybe it was Houston. Whenever Andy Reid tries to convert a fourth down, there are times where he will run the football and keep it out of Patrick Mahomes' hands, and it drives me insane. You have, in your mind, everybody's mind believes that Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league. Let him make the play. Do not hand the ball off to Kareem Hunt. Don't hand the ball off to Isaiah Pacheco. Don't do a cute end around. whether it's a sneak, whether it's him in shotgun, whatever it is, let Patrick Mahomes be the one to make the decision and make the throw every single time. I like the aggressiveness. Andy's been more aggressive in the postseason. Yeah. I just think, and there have been times when it's come back to bite him because I think at times starts to get too cute, just hands the ball off, and they're not. Just give the ball to the best player on the field and let him make the play. You're paying him the money. You know that he's the best quarterback in the league. You have that trust in him. Let him decide everything.
And they might hit even. You get an extra 15 yards if they get the wrong direction.
That too.
But here's the thing about it. And there's one guy that I feel like could be the MVP of this team that we kind of like the most underrated aspect of this game is. It's Joe Tooney. This season was saved because of Joe Tooney. Making that unselfish move from guard out to tackle, even though he's not the prototypical tackle. Andy Reid has had he's got basically 2-inch shorter arms than what he's always had, his average arm length. I know it's geeky in the woods.
But it's true.
This is why he didn't want to make that instant move and put him out at left tackle, because of the reach. Because going against guys like Myles Garrett and things like that, which Tooney's done a great job at, even though his arms are shorter, which we've seen it work out before. Ryan Lilger, they said he had short arms. That's why he went to Indy and started for the Colts and came back here. But the average arm length is shorter for Joe Tooney. And it's always kind of been his thing. That's why he's the prototypical guard. But the fact that he's moved at the tackle and been as good as he's been, like Joe Tooney, man, you can make a real argument that's the MVP to save the season.
The reason why we see college left tackles become guards in the NFL is because of reach. It's one of the main reasons, because when you get to the NFL level, you're facing the elite of the elite, and they can take advantage of something like that.
Who'd have thought we'd have offensive lineman arm length talk on this show?
Binks back, baby.
I was going to say, Jay Binkley, here it is.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanses.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Average is 34 and a quarter.
It's better than.
And I think Tooney was 32 and a quarter.
Long snapper talk. Let's be real.
You are definitely correct, though.
The GOAT, Winchester. Let's go.
When we come back, Rob Breton from The Drive is going to join the show. We're going to get his pick, as well as the Chiefs potentially being able to join an elite list. They are already kind of in the elite, but even higher up in this list of eliteness, if you will, or greatness. The Chiefs can win another Super Bowl and get themselves to 5 all time. More on that next. It's extended pregame on 96.5 The Fan. Continuing Super Bowl extended pregame coverage right here on 96.5 The Fan. Drew Nixon, Jay Binkley, Quentin Morris. We got about an hour and a half or so left until we get to official radio network pregame. But before we get to anything else, Rob Breton from The Drive, producer, along with Carrington Harrison, is joining. Rob, what's up?
What's going on, boys? Happy Super Bowl Sunday.
Rob, happy Super Bowl Sunday to you. You taming yourself yet? Or are you getting a little crazy for this game?
I mean, it's a long day. I feel like I put this on social media. The Chiefs put out that pump-up video this morning at like 9:30 a.m., the one about the three-peat, and it was like, all right, let's go. Well, it's 10:30. There's a long day, a long time ahead. So it's a pacing day, Bink. You got to play the long game today.
We've asked Carrington, and we've asked Bob, you know, a couple of things about the storyline, some other people that we've had on about, you know, the other storylines about it. But I'm going to ask you, Rob, a little bit of a different question. The Chiefs win this game. How do the Chiefs win this game? You can give a defensive answer, offensive answer, or both. It doesn't matter. But how do the Chiefs, what does a win look like?
I think a win looks like their quarterback just plays the way their quarterback has been playing in the postseason. Like, I think we saw in the first Chiefs-Eagles Super Bowl, Jalen Hurts was great in that game. I don't anticipate Jalen Hurts being good in this game, but Jalen Hurts was great in that game. You know who was greater? Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes has been exceptional in the postseason. Like, in the Texans game, he was just okay, but he kept finding Travis Kelce wide open. That was good enough to win. Josh Allen was good in the AFC Championship game against the Chiefs. But Patrick Mahomes was better with his legs and his arm. You look at the Super Bowls the Chiefs have won, it comes down to Patrick Mahomes being great. Look at the Niners Super Bowl last year. Those last two drives, there are not many quarterbacks in football or all-time football that you think, oh, there's two drives, you got to go get a field goal and a touchdown to tie the game and win the game. Who do you trust the ball? Patrick Mahomes is one of those guys. He was the difference in the Eagles' first Super Bowl. The Chiefs are down 10 against the Niners the first time. Patrick Mahomes makes an incredible play, and here we go. So it's a simplistic answer. It's a boring answer. It's not one that, ooh, it's, you know, nerdcore, deep-cut football, but it's pretty simple how the Chiefs win. Their quarterback just makes more plays in games like this. And it doesn't matter how good your quarterback plays, he's always going to be one play short because 15 is going to make that play, and that's how they win these games.
Rob, I asked CDOT this question earlier, but just going back and kind of looking at the Chiefs playoffs and how they play these games, because it is a different team when they get to the postseason and the regular season. But it's like you go back to that Texans game. Xavier Worthy was the only wide receiver to have a catch. And that's including over D-Hop, who has the longest active streak catching the football in the NFL. He's caught one every game except that game. But that doesn't count against your streak because it happened in the postseason. But it is an oddity to D-Hop that didn't have any catches. But they do different things, weird things like Juju, 60 yards against the Buffalo Bills. Something weird. You expecting kind of the same trend with Andy Reid to find that one guy that they're not going to guard, they're not going to watch, but he seems like he's really excelling doing things against the grain in the playoffs.
Absolutely. Except for the playoffs, let's look at the Super Bowl history. Last year, the game-winning Super Bowl was Mecole Hardman. How many people would have said, hey, Mecole Hardman's going to make a major impact in the Super Bowl? I remember when the Chiefs traded for him last year at the deadline, it was like, we talked about it, but it wasn't like, they made an earth-shattering move. Against the Eagles in that first Super Bowl, Kadarius Toney had a touchdown. Sky Moore had a touchdown. Those were not guys you were betting on, hey, they're going to get big contributions from Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore. The first Super Bowl, I know it's lore now, but at the time, Damian Williams was not one of those like, oh, you got to watch out for Damian Williams guys. He had 100 yards and multiple touchdowns. Like, you could argue he could be MVP of that Super Bowl. The Chiefs always find a dark horse, off the radar kind of guy to make a play. I believe it was Cody and Gold, and Drew, you'd know this better than me, that had the stat that usually someone that's 5-1 or worse is going to score a touchdown in a Chiefs Super Bowl because they always find those Sky Moore type guys. They always find those Kadarius Toney type guys. There's going to be a dark horse today. Now, from a gambling angle, it's difficult to identify the guy because there are so many options. Is it Justin Watson? Is it Noah Gray? Is it, you know, whoever? It's difficult to find. But I have no doubt when we look at the box score tonight, we're going to say, wow, the Chiefs got a major contribution from fill in the blank, and we didn't anticipate that.
Justin
the
Watson.
Stars are going to be, yeah, Justin Watson. To use a basketball analogy, the stars are going to be stars. LeBron's going to get his points. The question is, who's going to be that 3-and-D guy? Who's going to be the guy, the Austin Reeves type, to go get 15, 20 points? The Chiefs always find that guy. I'm curious who will be tonight.
Yeah, I think that'll be really interesting. You'd like to, because somebody texted in, D-Hop, Justin Watson's a guy to watch. I think, you know, Nico or Mejio, Quinton had pointed out, hey, that's a guy to watch potentially for a punt return and some sort of a big play. It does always seem like we get somebody who is, nobody is mentioned, nobody's thought about, nobody's at the podium on media night, Rob. It's just somebody out there on the field just walking around who all of a sudden makes a big play, and all of a sudden they're the star of the show. It certainly seems like that with the Kansas City Chiefs. What is your prediction for this game? I assume I know where you're going, but who do you think also is the MVP of this game? Is it Mahomes, or is it maybe an X factor, somebody else in this matchup that we're not expecting to win MVP?
So I'm going to pick the Chiefs. I'm going to say 31-28. And, you know, for MVP, it's a lame answer. I think Patrick Mahomes is going to win MVP because I think we all know that MVP is a narrative award as much as anything else. It is the storylines surrounding the game as much as it is actual play in the game. Patrick Mahomes has a chance to be the first quarterback to complete a three-peat. It would take a Herculean effort from someone other than him to steal his MVP from him, because he would not only be the three straight champion, he'd be the three straight MVP. So maybe Travis Kelce is worth sprinkling a little money on, because I could see a scenario where maybe it's like the Texans game and Mahomes is basically exclusive throwing to Travis Kelce, because Zach Ertz did cook the Eagles in the NFC title game, and Travis Kelce is better than Zach Ertz. But I just feel like The storyline is so big that Patrick Mahomes has to do something that no one else has done in the history of the NFL, that even if he's just good, not exceptional, not jaw-dropping, not, oh my God, but just good, it is hard to imagine a different player steals that trophy from him. I think previous Super Bowls, he had a less chance because it would actually be about play on the field. This one feels like it's so much other stuff surrounding the Super Bowl. So I'm going to get the Chiefs to win and Mahomes be my MVP.
Sounds good, Rob. Appreciate it. Enjoy the game.
Thanks, boys. See you tomorrow.
Later.
Here's the one thing I'll remind people. The 2019 season, that first Mahomes run where he won the Super Bowl, right? Mm-hmm. The first six games of the year, they had six different leading wide receivers. The first six games of the year before it became all crazy. Hill and crazy. Kelsey the rest of the year. But it was Watkins, Robinson, D-Rob was in there, McCole Hardman, Kelsey, Pringle. Pringle led the Chiefs 103 yards in week five that year. I mean, it was just so many different guys. You look for the matchups to find the guy that you really trust. Who do you really trust? Who gets in that circle of trust that Andy Reid, hey, on third down, he knows you're going to catch it. P. Ryan is in that circle of trust with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes.
Isn't that the sign of an elite quarterback? Is the fact that you're able to divide out the ball to everybody?
Yep.
And as well as a stat of you don't have any selfish players on your team. You know, when Patrick Mahomes goes to the sideline, there's not a receiver coming over saying, hey, give me the darn ball. What are we doing? I need the ball. Yep. Well, we know on the Philadelphia side that A.J. Brown has not only done that on the sideline, but he's literally made that public to the media that he needs the ball more. And the problem with the offense is Jalen Hurts. So will we see a guy like Patrick Mahomes dividing the ball out? And maybe Jalen Hurts, because he knows A.J. Brown demands the football, maybe some balls get forced.
And that's where, of course, if you can put pressure on Jalen Hurts, you know, if he takes a sack, he's been smart about taking sacks because he has made turnovers at times. If he takes sacks, it really hurts him because obviously his effectiveness as a thrower is, it's a lot harder when it's second and 17, third and 12 compared to other down and distances. When we come back, Bink thinks that Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts might be a little bit underrated. We'll let Bink explain that, and we'll have a conversation about Sirianni, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and Jalen Hurts next as Chiefs extended pregame for Super Bowl 59 continues right here on 96.5 The Fan. Chiefs extended pregame continuing right here on 96.5 The Fan, getting you set and ready for Super Bowl 59. Drew Nixon, Jay Bankley, Quentin Morris. We're going to hand it off to Dan and Mitch Kling and Dan Israel at 1 o'clock. We got you for the next hour and a half. The show is flying by as they always do. Are the nerves getting any more? Are they building up any more, Bink? I feel like it's hard when we're doing the show maybe to really get excited about it. As soon as 1 o'clock hits, you get back to the place. You know, you start just waiting and waiting and waiting. Q said he's not as nervous about this game as he even was the Buffalo Bills game. Is that how you feel too?
I think so, because just getting to this game, I'm kind of with Quentin there as far as can you get to this game? Because the haters, nobody thought the Chiefs would make it to this game, but they got to this game, and it's nice. And
yeah,
I just want to see it. But again, a big part of me, it is the last football game we have of the year. College football with the playoffs, they gave us till January 20th. And then, of course, the NFL ends today. And then you know what happens? Just like last year, it's a very short offseason. All of a sudden, you got the combine coming up. Then you got the draft. And all of a sudden, there are no OTAs. Mm. Then all of a sudden, in July, they're in training camp once again. But we got to close the door on the 2024-25 season. So I always kind of hate the Super Bowl ending because whoever's in it, because it means that we have no more football to look forward to each and every week.
Yeah. But I'm going to give Bank the plug. Character Concerns podcast. It doesn't go away, though, because you guys are getting ready for the draft and everything like that, regardless of what happens.
It goes all year round. It's like the Jelly of the Month Club, right? Just keeps giving you something all year round.
It absolutely does. Okay, so you think that Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts are underrated. I agree with you, particularly with Jalen Hurts. I think he doesn't get as much love as he should for how good of a quarterback that he is. I think he should be in the discussion of, you know, top eight quarterbacks just because you don't put up numbers doesn't mean you're not a good quarterback. I don't want to go down the MVP rabbit hole, but we'll get back to the Eagles in particular in a second. But Josh Allen's numbers. He was only thrown for like 219 yards a game this year, Bink. He wasn't lighting the world on fire. As a matter of fact, if you look at the comparison of the stats, Lamar Jackson and him, Lamar Jackson basically did everything better than he did from a statistical nature.
Mahomes had more yards than he did.
If Patrick Mahomes had more yards than Josh Allen. If you're looking at winning quarterbacks, I think Jalen Hurts is a guy that yes, they have Saquon Barkley, who probably should have won MVP. Yes, they have a really good defense. Yes, they've got weapons. But you got to have an elite quarterback to be able to win these football games and a really good quarterback to win these games. Not to say that happens every year, I guess, when certain factors in, because Trent Dilfer is not an elite quarterback. Joe Flacco is not an elite quarterback. But I think you get what I'm saying along the lines of being able to make plays when they matter most. Jalen Hurts throughout his career has been able to make really big plays. Does he need a career game like he had back in that Super Bowl where he played against the Chiefs, which probably was his best game of his career and still came up short? Does he need to do that for them to win this game? And explain why you think he is underrated.
Well, again, this guy's been just a winner. I mean, he really is. I mean, you hate to see him on the other side of the field, you know, if you're a Chiefs fan, because you know the things he could do. He can turn that 3rd and 4, and all of a sudden you have a 1st and 10. He can make that clutch throw. As this year, then the passing numbers were down for him because they have so much talent. Just turn around and hand the ball off to Saquon Barkley. But the 630 yards he had running the ball, the 4.2-yard average, and, of course, that average goes down because of the tush push that they would do for the 1 yards to get in the end zone. But 26-2, and he was at Alabama. We know how good he was at Oklahoma. But I don't feel he gets talked about in the realm of Jared Goff and Lions and what he's doing and great year. Lamar Jackson, is he going to win another MVP? Mm-hmm. Josh Allen, is this going to be the year he goes to the Super Bowl? Joe Burrow, sorry, Drew, names like that. But all of a sudden, Jalen Hurts is in his 2nd Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And second in 3 years. And he kind of turned things around. They had a lot of crap going on, a lot of talking going in that locker room.
But last year, especially, yes.
Yeah. And this year at the beginning of the year, the whole A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts dynamic. But he kept it even keel. And credit Nick Sirianni for doing this, too. That guy has won a lot of games. There was a ton of talk. Is this Detroit's year? Detroit and Dan Campbell, the apple of everybody's eyes. That's going to be the team to go. But all of a sudden, the Eagles just kept winning. And they would go on a run. They just kept winning.
They were red hot in the middle of the season.
Yes, offensively, number one defense in the NFL, number one pass defense in the NFL. They just kept going and winning, despite their kicker, who's by the way, 1-7, 1 of 7, plus 50
really
yards.
Bad, yeah.
But found a way to win games. But yeah, the fact that he's in his 2nd Super Bowl, both Sirianni and when you look at Jalen Hurts as well, and I credit their draft picks too. With Howie Roseman, I think he's done a great job making selections. I mean, Quinyon Mitchell, loved him coming out of Toledo. Cooper DeJean, all in this draft this past year that helps this team out. But they nailed Jalen Carter the year before in the 1st round, and all those other teams passed on him because of character concerns going on. But they've nailed the draft. You have to be good in the draft to get to where they are. And
Both of these teams do a better job than anybody else.
They've been like that. Jalen Hurts paid handsomely, like Patrick Mahomes is, but they've found a way. They've had to use their draft picks to get where they're at, the Eagles, and so have the Chiefs. So I look at these teams both in the same kind of direction. But Nick Sirianni, despite all the reasons that he rubs people the wrong way, and I get that. But, hats off to him. He is a winner, and so is Jalen Hurts. They do win a lot of games.
Yeah, it feels like, I think that a lot of people...
And I think Jalen gets in the conversation with the Allens and stuff, and he deserves to be for 2 Super Bowls.
I definitely agree with that. I think that, Nick Sirianni, he wears his heart on his sleeve, which if you don't like the Eagles or, people, you either love him or you hate him. It comes across as, I think, with a lot of people regarding Nick Sirianni. Because he wears his emotion on his sleeve, and that can be a really good thing that's celebrated. It can also be something that a lot of people don't like or drives you the wrong way. Jalen Hurts is just cool, calm, and collected. When he's answering questions, it feels like he's so even keel, and he's level headed. He doesn't let anything affect him like a bad play. Like, all right, we're going on to the next one. He's not overly emotional. He's just cool, calm, and collected. I feel like in those moments where you need to make plays in big time moments, he's able to do that, and that's what I think is an aspect of him that is extremely underrated. And yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, I think you're right, Bink, that if they do win the Super Bowl, then he's in that conversation of, well, one, he'd be the 2nd quarterback who is active right now, 3rd quarterback ever to beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs.
Well, the last
so
four
I think that, that you have that automatically enters him into another territory of
discussion
of special, and then you look at what he's done throughout his career in winning. It's not like this is a one-off. You know, he's been to one before, made the playoffs last year, had one of the best teams in football last year, until it just fell apart essentially on them, where all the issues came out, and then amidst the issues, being able to make it back again has been extremely
and everybody
impressive.
Wanted Sirianni fired. Keep this in mind. Yeah. The last 4 years, his record is 48-20. That's a 70.6% winning percentage.
For the NFL, that's very good.
That's the highest of any active coach in the NFL.
Yeah.
What Sirianni's done. And he's done it with, you know, everybody wanting him to be fired. He just keeps winning. And Jalen Hurts, a big part of that. And, of course, going out and getting Barkley was huge for that team.
913-586-7965. If you want to be a part of the show, text on in from the 913. Hurts is so good. I think he's underrated, Bink. I think he is. A lot of people would look at the stats. You know, they might put Justin Herbert ahead of him. Jalen Hurts is a better quarterback than Justin Herbert.
Where do you put him? Like
who? Hurts?
Yeah, like what top what?
Do
you put him?
He's top eight for sure. I think you can make a case that he's top five.
So you've got, because you would have Mahomes and then some combination of Burrow, Allen, Lamar, and then you put Hurts?
I think you put him in that conversation. I think in terms of like Matt Stafford, if they're playing at their peak, Matt Stafford, I think, is in that conversation for top five. I think Jalen Hurts is right there. I mean, who else would you put there, Bink? I mean, he's better than Jared Goff. He's better than Justin Herbert. He's better than Jordan Love. He's better than Brock Purdy. He's better than C.J. Stroud. I think he's right there.
I agree.
At five or six.
Yeah, because I think, to be honest, we talk a lot about top five quarterbacks, and it's Mahomes. And then, to be honest, I don't really care where you put Burrow, Allen, Lamar. I think, depending on the week, they kind of jump each other around.
Sure.
But I think Hurts, you know, I don't know if it's just because his games haven't been awesome, you know, consistently, or maybe it's because he's quiet. I don't know what it is, but he does sort of like fade into the background almost. Maybe it's just because this year Saquon's been the guy everybody's talking about. I'm not sure why, but I think you bring up a good point. He almost has to be in that top five conversation.
And not to, you know, just punk the Chargers a little bit, but everybody says Justin Herbert's the best quarterback. You know, he's the most talented quarterback in the entire league. At some point, you being a good quarterback and not a good quarterback, or a great and elite quarterback, comes down to, can you win football games?
Phillip Rivers 2.0.
As great as Justin Herbert is, as special as you might think he has not won a playoff game. Not once. He has not even made it past the divisional or the wild card round. Jalen Hurts has made it to the Super Bowl 2 times. There's your difference. Jalen Hurts didn't put up the numbers that Justin Herbert does,
but
he wins football games.
It goes back to the draft and what people are saying, right? Elite talent, great arm talent, yeah. But you question...
But he's not an elite quarterback. He's not actually elite.
The guys around you.
Correct.
The intangibles that come with being a quarterback. And that's kind of what...
Everything that makes Patrick Mahomes great, Justin Herbert lacks. Like, and they're, like, he's as talented as any person, but the ability to bring guys together, to make other people better, to all of it.
I think right now he's the third best quarterback in AFC West, because I put Bo Nix ahead of him this year.
That's bold.
No, I'm just saying what
happened
Bo this
Nix.
Year.
Bink loves Bo Nix.
No, I don't love Bo Nix. I didn't like Bo Nix a ton in the draft. I didn't like, but man, this guy's showing what kind of leader. But how about the AFC West, where the Chiefs sit, where they've won 8 straight? You got Pete Carroll now in the division.
And the division
Jim Harbaugh,
was better this
Sean
year.
Payton. Yeah, 3 teams. The AFC West had 3 teams in the playoffs. Everybody's talking about the NFC East and giving them a ton of credit. Of course, they made the NFC title game. But 3 AFC West teams made the postseason.
We got to get to a break. Coming up next, the head honcho, Steven Spector, is going to join the show. We're going to get his pick, who he thinks is going to win. Your guess is as good as mine for who Speck is going to win. From according to the station, some people think he's actually going to pick the Eagles. Will he or not? We'll have Speck join the show next. It's extended pregame right here on 96.5 The Fan. Chiefs extended pregame, 96.5 The Fan. Your home for the Kansas City Chiefs. Continues now, Jay Binkley. Back in studio. Happy to have you along the ride. I'm Drew Nixon. Quentin Morris producing the show. We got boss man Steven Spector on the line. Speck, how's it going?
Speck.
I'm just happy to be included in the club finally. I get to call in and preview this Super Bowl for the ages. Thanks for having me, guys.
Happy to have you along.
What are you doing this morning, Speck? You watching highlights? You watching pregame? You not at all?
I'm not a pregame person.
I didn't think so.
Bink, I think you can appreciate this. The Capitals are playing the Utah Hockey Club right now on ESPN Plus.
So, nice.
Watching Ovechkin chase the great one. Yes. So that's how I'm going to spend the next couple hours. Jeez. But I don't like watching like pregame for 6-7 hours. I'll probably tune in, you know, closer to kickoff and see some of the festivities and the celebs in the stands. But until then, it's hockey and a little bit of downtime. I'm going to go pick up some barbecue later for some nachos we're making tonight, so it's going to be a great day.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I noticed that nobody said that you would host the worst Super Bowl party. I was a popular pick as well as Cody in that one. I'm glad nobody picked you, Speck.
I think Bob actually picked me, but he was...
Oh, really? Okay.
He could have been... You know Bob.
Rob picked me.
Okay, Bob picked me for something that I thought was out of line, but what Bob does, right?
One of the things that we talked about this week, you know, there's so many different storylines, which is part of the reason why I don't watch any pregame either. There's so many things we talk about during the week that just get repeated during pregame. But one thing that is, it's a bit of a discussion, but in particular to the game, it hasn't been discussed as much. Is Patrick Mahomes the greatest quarterback of all time if they actually three-peat, or do you think that he still needs to do a little bit more?
I'm still in the camp that he needs to do a little bit more. I think it's just, Brady has 7 Super Bowls, and that's really tough. But today is about the chance to pass Brady by doing something that he never did. So I think this is a big step towards being the greatest of all time. But, you know, it's still Brady 7, Patrick 3 or 4, depending on the result today. So I think Pat's well on his way, and we still have 8, 9, 10 years to have this conversation about who's the greatest of all time. But if Pat wins today and the Chiefs win today, he has that now on his resume that, you know, something Brady never did, especially considering Brady beat him in the playoffs twice, once in the Super Bowl, once in the AFC Championship game. But this is the step in the direction that he needs to take in order to make that leap as being considered the greatest all time, which I think we're going to have that conversation in 10 years anyway. But that's what makes these conversations fun.
It's also funny that Brady is on the call, which would be really funny.
Yeah. I think it's going to be really interesting. And I know Terry Bradshaw has done it for Fox, you know, historically. But is Brady going to hand Mahomes the trophy? Yeah, like how it'll be interesting to see how Fox handles the post-game situation if the Chiefs end up winning.
I'm with you on everything you said, Speck, about Brady and the 7 rings and where Mahomes sits. Although I look back at a couple games here and there, and man, this could be a lot closer in total rings if a few things went the right direction. But I've stopped, you know, with that. When people ask, is he the greatest of all time? I'm with you on everything you said on that. And I just bring it to this. Is he the greatest to this point? And the answer is yes. 71% of his seasons, he's been in the Super Bowl. Tom Brady didn't make his 4th until he's 34 years old. Mahomes is 29. He didn't win his 4th till he was 37. Mahomes has a chance at 29 years old. So I always stop at Speck. I don't know if that's fair or not, but I said, to this point, he is. I'll bring it, I'm not saying career-wise, it's Brady, obviously, but to this point, I will say it is Mahomes.
Yeah, I think that's 100% right. I mean, Brady versus Mahomes until age 29, there's no argument that Patrick Mahomes is better. But one of the things that made Brady and that, you know, that Patriots dynasty so great, and obviously that final year in Tampa so great, is, you know, the guy did it for 20 years and he sustained one season-ending injury. But other than that, he was available. He was in the top half of the league in quarterback play for 20 years. And, you know, we celebrate Pat for 7 AFC championships and 7 years as a starter. I mean, he's like a third of the way to Brady's career in terms of, you know, number of seasons played, which is just kind of incredible to think about and a compliment to Brady. But, yeah, to Bink's point, every metric, every stat, every number of titles, all that stuff, if you just look at age 29 versus age 29, it's not competitive. Mahomes is better than Brady.
Which is funny because I look at this, Drew, speaking of Cincinnati.
No, thanks for bringing them up.
No, the Chiefs beat the Patriots, and it was on the Cincinnati. People wanted Brady benched. He ended up going to 5 Super Bowls, passed that on the Cincinnati where people wanted him benched. That's insane. Everybody was throwing him out in 5 more.
You'll remember this, Bink. Remember in 2014, that Monday Night Football game at Arrowhead, he threw that pick 6 to Hussein Abdullah, and everybody said, is this the end of Brady?
That's right.
And he did it for 7 more seasons. I mean, it's just, you know, he's the greatest of all time, but Pat is well on pace, and we can at least start having the conversation. If he's not number one,
he's certainly number two.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Five Super Bowls he made after that night in Kansas City where everybody wasn't even benched.
Yeah, that's absolutely crazy. Speck, what is the biggest storyline in this game? I know that there's so many that we've gone through. You know, Saquon, it's the Eagles defensive front. It's Chris Jones. You know, Trent McDuffie going up against the wide receivers. Is there one that stands out more to you in terms of how the Chiefs win this and regarding like matchups or storylines? What's the most important one in your mind?
I'm going to cop out here. I was listening to you, Drew, and I thought you made a great point earlier. I'd love to see Pat throw it 35, 40 times today. Get as many playmakers on the field as you can. Spread the Eagles out and let the best quarterback in football do what he does, right? Put Hopkins on the field. Put Brown on the field. Put Worthy on the field. Put Kelsey on the field. Stretch the Eagles every which way, horizontally, vertically. I know I'm picking a quarterback of a thing to watch. I mean, that's so easy. But I'm not really interested in, like, 15 carries from Kareem Hunt and 10 from Pacheco. And again, game script can determine if that's going to happen or not. And if they get 25 carries between those two guys, that means they've went out to a big lead, and that's a great thing. But I really do think that this could be a game where we see Pat 27 of 37 for 260 yards and two or three touchdowns with, you know, a couple yards rushing. But I'd like to see them spread the Eagles out, make that defensive line really tired, see if the young rookie corners in the Eagles secondary can hold up against some veteran guys. Again, it's a cop-out answer, but I would just love to see a vintage Pat 2018-2019 game.
I'm 100% with you because he's indoors. Patrick Mahomes loves domes. He's 11-0. He throws for over 300 yards a game, 26 touchdowns, 3 picks. He loves being inside. I want to see the Chiefs, Spec, get back to the team that we thought they were going to be in training camp. In with Worthy on one side, Hollywood Brown on the other, to take the deep shots, that team speed. Because in the playoffs, as we mentioned a couple weeks ago, you know, Worthy was the only receiver to catch the football. It's just weird how Andy will, you know, look at matchups in games. But I want to see that St. Joe version of the Chiefs in this game. I'm 100% with you. Just air it out.
Yeah, you know, put Samaje Perine in space. You know, I could see him scoring a touchdown today. That's kind of one of my long shot bets, but. Yeah, I'm totally with you. I just, you know, great players have to be the best in their big games, and Pat's done that consistently in all of his Super Bowl appearances, but he's never really done one of those, you know, 40, 45 dropbacks for 300-plus yards. He has thrown for 300-plus yards in a Super Bowl, but I put it all on his shoulders. They're going to have to make history. Kelsey wants to make history. Let's let 15 be 15, and yeah, to Bink's point, let's go back to the St. Joe days when, you know, Hollywood and Xavier were running wide open down the field, and Kelsey's underneath, and just spread the Eagles out as thin as they can possibly
be. Every day you would see the highlights. There was a long touchdown, 60 yards every freaking day.
All right, Speck.
It'd be great.
What is your score prediction? Who do you think wins this one?
I'm taking the Chiefs 27, Eagles 21. And I think it's a one-score game in the fourth quarter, and the Chiefs have the ball to ice it. They do it. Mahomes kneels down. Game over. Three-peat in hand. See you on Wednesday at the parade.
Sounds good. Steven Spector, thank you very much for joining. I made sure to include you because I felt like I was called out. I feel like Mac and I were called out a little bit after the AFC title game. I wanted to make sure that you got on.
Isn't that what social media is for, just to call people out?
Absolutely. Thank you, Speck. Enjoy the game.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, that was good stuff. We got to get to a break. Coming up next, Cody Tapp is going to join the show. We're going to ask Cody a little bit about Travis Kelce, see if he has a big game, because there is no bigger supporter maybe at the station of Travis Kelce than Cody Tapp. Chiefs Extended Super Bowl pregame continues next on 96.5 The Fan.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.